It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope you're having a great, great weekend. You know, as we think about Memorial Day, I started thinking about one of our vacation trips that we took as a family, and really a very impactful time. It was to Washington, D.C. It's a fantastic place to go, partly because a lot of things are free, so that makes every trip great. But one of the areas that you get to go to, and you can go to, is Arlington National Cemetery. So 639 acres of tombstones and grave sites where men and women who have bravely fought and to protect our country's freedom, where they're buried. And so it's a very sobering, very humbling place to be as you walk around those acres and read the names of the soldiers that are on, the names on that tombstone. You know, I don't know them personally, and most of them, I don't know their exact identity of who they are, but I can make an assumption because that they were in the military. They, from all these different generations of wars and battles, I can with some confidence look and see these tombstones and say these men and women are brave. They were courageous, maybe even sacrificial because of the service that they had for our country and giving up their life and making the ultimate sacrifice, most of them for the freedoms of our country. But I can't with 100% accuracy give you a great identity of them, you know, what they were like or who they were. So it got me thinking about us as believers. And as we look around the room today, and as you walk out in this world and people see you and they may know your name, I have full confidence that if you're a believer today, that I can, with full confidence, kind of talk about and discuss your identity. Not just your name, but to know your identity. Because in Jesus, we have a foundation of identity that defines who we are and allows us to live the life that He has called us to live in a world that is clamoring for understanding. We know who we are in Jesus. And so over the next few weeks this summer, we're going to be doing a series called Identity. And we're going to look at who we are in Jesus, our identity in Him. And again, now more than ever, as believers, we need to be confident in who we are in Him. And the world needs to see who we are in Jesus. And so there's no better place to start as we talk about identity than what we're going to be talking about today, and it's this: I am loved. You see, if we can understand that very basic foundation of our faith and our identity with Jesus, it changes everything that we do. And so if you would open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4 as we talk about I am loved. What does that mean for us as believers? What does that look like? How do we know that we are loved? Again, it's important for us to recognize this and to understand that today. So 1 John 4, we're going to be looking at just two verses this morning. We're going to read those together and then kind of walk through other passages of Scripture to talk about God's love and His love for us. So if you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 9, it says this: In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His Son, His only Son, into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for, again, the power in Your Word. And our prayer, as always, the Holy Spirit would move and work in us, transforming us into who You want us to be. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think of this idea of love, I am loved, really there's no greater place to be than 1 John. Just John in general. Listen, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Matter of fact, when someone comes to know the Lord, I always direct them back to John and his writings because he talked about the love of Jesus. That was a very important, impactful part of John's life, and so it should be for all of us. The love of Jesus in our life and how it flows through us and in us. And so this is a great passage. Matter of fact, weaved in and out of 1 John all throughout is this word love. The love of Jesus, the love of our Heavenly Father. So there's no better place to be and to kind of zero in as we talk about being loved by God than right here in 1 John chapter 4. As we think about that, I want to just talk through, first and foremost, some ways that we can know. Because here's the issue. Listen, in this ever-changing world, where everyone is trying to tell you what you are supposed to be and who you are supposed to be, in an ever-changing world where people are working hard and clamoring to find their identity in a fruitless effort doing different things, now more than ever, it's important that we know why and how we are loved. And so I want to look just a few things this morning of ways that we can know. We're going to look at this passage really kind of focusing in on verse 10 this morning. And so look again at this passage and we can kind of look and see how we can know that we are loved. The first thing is this: I know I am loved because God told me. I know that I am loved because God told me. Now here's what it says. Look at verse 10. It says this: in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us. Now I'm not going to just sit here and say a very superficial way, hey, God loves you, God loves me, because He said so. You know, like as a parent, you know, when you say that to your kids, they ask why, you say, because I said so. I'm not just saying that. It's not a superficial thing that we throw out there, but it's important for you to know, because when the world tries to confuse you and change you, I want you to know that this isn't kind of some kind of emotion that is fleeting, that comes and goes with the tides of the world. Listen, we can have 100% confidence that you and I are loved. Why? Because God's Word tells us. And God's Word doesn't change. God doesn't change. And so we can have confidence that you and I are loved by God because He has told you. He has told me. He has told you. He loves you. I love the fact that Charles Spurgeon talked a lot about love and what this looked like that we experience. He said this, he says, if a man could know that he was loved by all his fellow men, if he could have it for certain that he was loved by all the angels, yet these were but so many drops, and all put together could not compare with the main ocean contained in the fact that God loved us. Nothing can compare to the love of God. And we know that because He has told us. Let's look at this again, because listen, I know right now you guys are singing in your mind, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, right? That's what you're singing. I know you wanted to just kind of belt that out, and I wish you would have. That would have been fun. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But listen, we look in Scripture, and it's not just a song. It's reality. So look, you don't have to look in turn, but you can write down these verses. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Psalm 103, verse 8, an incredible passage talking about God's greatness and His faithfulness and His love. And it says this, that His love, He's abounding in steadfast love. Now, I don't know. When you look at this, listen, this is not just a general, these aren't just general statements. It's not just, hey, listen, our God loves. Listen, look at these, the words in these, I've loved you with an everlasting love. God says His love is abounding. It's steadfast. Listen, God's love is not just a trickle from a faucet. It is a flood of love that is forever, will never go away. God's love is abounding, everlasting, and steadfast. But listen, also it says this, John 15:9, Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus telling us, hey, listen, I love you. And we look in John 3:16, listen, we can stay there all day long and talk through the theological significance of John 3:16. And what does it say? For God so loved the world. Now listen, don't get mixed in with the mixed up with the minutiae of this and think of the broadness and the scope of the world. You could very easily just put your name in there. And I think this is the picture that we have of God, that His love is so vast and great that He loves the world. He loves you. And He loves me. For God so loved Craig. Listen, that's life-changing. We recognize that God's Word tells us that we are loved. As I look at, in Scripture, there are other areas that talk about the proof of His love for us. How do we know, again, that this is this truly is that love that He has? Genesis really gives us a great indication. And we can go right back again to the beginning. It says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Listen, God loves you so much so that He created you in His image. Listen, He's the creator of all things. But He created you in His image. That's how much He loves you. But I also see this, and I love this. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Do you guys know what it's like to be pursued by someone? I do. I mean, all those years Amy was pursuing me. It was amazing. And thanks, Amy. I mean, life-changing. yeah, you know that's not true. But anyway, listen, there's something powerful about being pursued, isn't it? Except the police. You don't be pursued by the police. There's something powerful about that too. Just a different end result. There's something special about being pursued. You are pursued by someone who cares about you. You are pursued by someone who thinks highly of you. You are pursued by someone who loves you. And we look in Scripture and it says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Our Heavenly Father loves you so much that He sent His Son. And His Son's job, responsibility, to seek, His mission, to seek and to save the lost. Our Jesus pursuing the lost. Listen, He loves you. If you've ever had a doubt about the love that God has for you, hear it today and write it down. Hold it close to your heart and just I want you to know God's Word has told us, God has told us that He loves us. But listen, not only that, but let's look at the second part of that verse 10. It says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." Here's the thing about God's love. The Bible tells us so. We can sing that to the top of our lungs. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is so true and profound. But can I just tell you, in a world today, many times, if we were to share words, many times those words seem in the world today just words. Now we know God's Word is perfect and powerful, but listen, even God's Word is backed up with proof. It is. You see, God loves us. He loves you because He's told us. But listen, not only that, I know I'm loved because God showed me. I know I'm loved because He told me, and I know that I'm loved because He showed me. You see, God spoke about the love that He has for His children, His love that He has for us. But listen, He didn't just speak it and He didn't just say it, but He sent His Son Jesus to show it. The proof of His love for all mankind wrapped up in Jesus dying upon a cross. Listen, God loves you and me so much so that He sent His Son Jesus to take away the sins of the world. Look at verse 9. It says this, the love of God was made manifest among us. It means that God showed His love through Jesus. God in the flesh, love in the flesh in Jesus. Romans 5:8, it says this, "And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I love Romans 5:5, and it says this, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Listen, we know that God's love is shown through Jesus Christ dying on the cross to save us from our sin, to forgive us. But listen, when we are believers, we have the Holy Spirit poured out into our heart. Listen, that is God's love. He has showed us. He's shown us what love is. I had my Texas education coming out right there. He done showed us. He sure did. I probably have a teacher watching too. Where's that from back in the day? But listen, he proves this love to us through Jesus on the cross in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so whenever you are living out your days and walking in your faith and you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life directing you to speak or to say, listen, that's the love of God moving and working. You see, God loves us and He has shown us His love. Listen, we recognize that today. And I want you to know that you are loved. Maybe you walked into here and this was something that you struggled with over the last few weeks, months, years. Maybe you have been trying to find that love in other places. We read of that. We see that. I've counseled many that have looked for that love in so many different ways. I want you to know today that you are loved. God loves you. It's in His Word. He's told us. And even more so, He has shown us. So what does that mean for us? I want to just give you two things. Two things that ways this should really kind of impact you today. One is this. Embracing God's love will change the way you live your life. Embracing God's love will change the way you live your life. When the knowledge of God's love becomes an intimate reality in your life, then your life is changed forever. Now the things that you do in life, how you live out your faith, is not done to gain love, but it's done from love. You see, everything changes in your life. When you embrace the love of God in your life, knowing that it does not change. Now get a load of this. This is something that should just blow us away. You know, we talk about God's knowledge, His wisdom, God's all-knowing. We know that from what Scripture says. He knows all things. He does. He knows everything about you and about me. But listen, He still loves. I don't know about you, but that is overwhelming to me. That God, in all His infinite wisdom, knew that I would be a sinner. Listen, we read Scripture and it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Jesus was not a plan B. Jesus was not a, oops, I better do something about this. God's plan, perfect plan for all time was to send Jesus to rescue us. Why? Because He loved us. Listen, the reality is when you embrace the love of God, when you recognize how deep and wide His love is in your life, it changes the way you live. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:14, which I love. He said this, "For the love of Christ controls us," is what he says. Listen, that's what happens when the love of Christ controls you. What he means by this, he says this, the decisions he makes, the things that he says, how he lives out his faith, controlled by the power of Jesus. The love that has been poured out into our life, the Holy Spirit in us, controlling how we live. That is God's love in action. Listen, God loves you, and the reality is that love, when made personal and intimate in your life, changes how you live. But here's the other thing that I love. not only embracing God's love will change the way you live, but listen, embracing God's love will change the way you live with others. Not only does it change your way of life, but it changes the way you live with others. It should change and does change how you interact with other people. When you recognize how sinful we are and how great God's love is, it changes how you treat other people. When you recognize how much God loves you and you embrace that in your life, you love others the same way. Look at verse 7. Go back to 1 John 4. And let's look at a couple of these verses because this is so powerful in 1 John. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Then look at verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You know, the greatest reflection and demonstration of a loving God is when His children love others. When you read those passages, listen, I don't know if you take this way because I don't think it's accurate. I think many times we look at this and we almost read this as an option. God loves us, so hey, we should be able to love others. That's not what God's Word is telling us. If you had the love of God in your heart, if God has poured out His love on you, which He has, then you need to love others the same way. This is not an option. This is not like, okay, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can do it here, maybe not there. I'm going to pick and choose. Listen, that's not what God's Word is saying. He's saying this. If you know God, then His love is present in your life and He's changed your life, then you should love other people. Can I just tell you, when you embrace God's love in your life, it changes how you live with others. So today I want to encourage you. Have you embraced God's love in your life? I'm not talking about a head knowledge because, you know, that is an easy thing to attain. And just kind of reading through Scripture is a way to do that. I don't want you just to walk out of here today and recite verses. That's not a bad thing, but I don't want it to be just a head knowledge. I want you to intimately and personally know without a doubt that you have the love of God in your life. That you are loved. You see, it changes how you live. And it changes how you treat others. So today, I just want to share with you this. The love of Jesus was so powerful, strong and great that He was nailed to a cross, became the ultimate perfect blood sacrifice to take away the sins of all the world. His love is so great and so powerful that when we call upon His name, we ask for forgiveness, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that we believe that He died for our sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive us and rescue us. The love of God is so deep and amazing that in Jesus we have life. I pray that this love of God is more than just a head knowledge, but an intimate and personal reality in your life.